Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 7th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
chaos erupts in Washington. We have eyewitness accounts of the storming of the Capitol.
As the dust settles, lawmakers work through the night to certify Joe Biden's election victory.
White House officials resign in the wake of the violence as President Trump now promises an orderly transition.
Leaders in the tri-state area react to yesterday's storming of the U.S. Capitol. Plus, New York Governor Cuomo seeks to legalize mobile sports betting. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks with a comeback win. St. John's loss, and the Giants are keeping their general manager.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community. SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
S&P futures are adding to yesterday's gains. 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures up 65. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.05%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 24 cents at $50.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $8.90 at $19.17.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.2270 against the dollar. The yen, 103.55. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the chaos at the Capitol. Protesters banging on doors as they breach the halls of Congress, emboldened by President Trump's cries of election fraud just hours earlier.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
It took about 4 hours to secure the Capitol after the National Guard was called in. That was followed by a strict curfew for all of D.C.
Attention, a curfew is in effect.
There are at least four deaths during the mayhem, including one woman who was shot, and Bloomberg's Billy House was at the Capitol during the siege.
You could see portions of the crowds pushing police barriers back, and then suddenly they broke and ran toward the rotunda Capitol steps. Some police began to run inside the Capitol rotunda, realizing they were just on the other side of the door. Riot gear began to be put on. Some Republicans were telling their colleagues to call Trump and tell him to stop these people. That didn't happen, and then they eventually led us out of there, and the protesters were out in the halls.
Democratic representative from Ohio, Joyce Beatty, was also there as the mob stormed the Capitol, and we spoke to her just after the situation was contained.
We heard gunshots being fired. We saw glass being broken. Members were barricaded in offices, escorted off the floor. Tear gas masks were provided.
Rioters carried Trump flags and Confederate banners as Capitol Police appeared unprepared for the flood of protesters. Joe Biden addressed the nation. He called on President Trump to end the violence.
I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege.
Just moments later, President Trump was already out with a video on Twitter addressing supporters storming the Capitol.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace.
Twitter later locked the president's account for 12 hours. Facebook blocked him from posting for 24 hours.
Reactions pouring into the invasion of the Capitol. Here's House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
This is my saddest day as a member of Congress. And what we have to do is take this moment to take this divide in this nation and understand we could have differences of opinion.
Both Democrats and some Republicans are placing blame for the violence on President Trump. We spoke with former press secretary for John Boehner, Michael Steele.
I think that his decision to incite this crowd, to rile them up and send them to the Capitol, was incredibly irresponsible. I thought that his video telling them to go home fell woefully short.
We're seeing some White House officials resign in the wake of the violence, and sources tell us more could follow. There's also been talk from some Republicans of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would remove President Trump from office. Overnight, the president came out with a statement saying there will be an orderly transition on January 20th.
After the dust cleared, lawmakers on Capitol Hill resumed certification of the election, led by Vice President Mike Pence.
To those who wreaked havoc in our Capitol today, you did not win. Violence never wins. Freedom wins. And this is still the people's house.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell also vowed to push on counting votes into the night.
We will not bow to lawlessness or intimidation. We are back at our posts. We will discharge our duty under the Constitution and for our nation.
Certification continued into the morning, and now Congress has formally recognized Joe Biden as the next president. The invasion of the Capitol prompted Republicans to rein in some objections to the count, with senators forcing debate on only two states' electors.
Violence at the Capitol largely overshadowed a Democratic sweep in Georgia. Both Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff won their contests in the state, granting narrow control of the Senate to Democrats and giving President-elect Joe Biden a wider berth to enact his agenda. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Laura Davison.
It means that Biden will have an opportunity to enact at least some of his agenda. Democrats will hold 50 seats in the Senate. Now, that's half, but they also have Vice President Kamala Harris, who will be able to cast these tie-breaking votes. With a very, very slim majority, they won't be able to do some of the big sweeping changes that had been talked about, you know, sort of big environmental changes or sweeping tax cuts. But they will be able to do some of those things. You know, they'll need to work with Republicans, but there's some Republicans, moderates, who have signaled willingness to work with Democrats, particularly after an event like we've had. You'll see some coming together.
The Democratic victories were propelled by record turnout in Georgia. Nearly 4.5 million votes were cast in the state.
And again, futures this morning are on the rise, with S&P futures up about 18 points, Dow futures up 112, NASDAQ futures up 74. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.04%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. The euro, 1.2272 against the dollar. And straight ahead, the latest local headlines. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world, obviously with the events in Washington overshadowing what's going on in the Empire State, Michael.
Yes, sir. Area officials are reacting to the storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Donald Trump. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sent 1,000 members of the state's National Guard to D.C. In a statement, Cuomo says, "We must call this what it actually is, a failed attempt at a coup. This is the final chapter of an incompetent, cruel, and divisive administration that has trampled on the Constitution and the rule of law at every turn." New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy in a tweet says, "We are witnessing one of the darkest days in American history." New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says people ignored the signs in the 1930s and paid an awful price. This is what fascism looks like, and Donald Trump is responsible. Area members on the House floor overnight debated the Republican objection to Pennsylvania's electoral votes for President-elect Joe Biden. Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman Connor Lamb.
"We know that that attack today, it didn't materialize out of nowhere. It was inspired by lies, the same lies that you're hearing in this room tonight."
New Jersey GOP Congressman Jeff Van Drew took exception.
"Because someone doesn't agree with your view or your ideas does not mean that they are liars."
Congress eventually validated Biden's victory. In New York, there were some arrests during an anti-Trump rally in Midtown. World leaders are condemning what happened at the U.S. Capitol. Prime Minister Boris Johnson of Britain and others called for a peaceful transition of power. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the right to vote and the right to have the vote counted should not be undone by a mob. New York is set to become the most populous state yet to allow mobile sports betting under a plan proposed by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The governor, who faces a $16 billion budget gap related to the coronavirus, said he would seek an operator or platform to offer mobile sports wagering in the state. Cuomo says he wants to run it like the lottery, where the state gets the revenues.
"Many states have done sports betting, but they basically allow casinos to run their own gambling operations. That makes a lot of money for casinos, but it makes minimal money for the state."
He'll make his proposals as part of his 2021 State of the State address next week. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, David.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashire.
Good morning, Nathan. This is a night where, had there been fans, the Garden would have been rocking. What a win for the much-improved Knicks. They trailed Utah by 18 and won by 12, a 30-point turnaround. 112-100, plenty of Knick heroes. Julius Randle scored 30 points, grabbed 16 rebounds. He played 40 minutes. Elfrid Payton played 42 and scored 22 with 8 assists. But it was Austin Rivers who stole the show in the fourth quarter. He scored 14 points in a row, hit 4 3-pointers, finished with 23. The Knicks are 5-3. It's their best start since 2012. St. John's is 1-4 in the Big East. Their first game in over 2 weeks, a 69-61 loss at Xavier. Seton Hall fell at Creighton, 89-53. The game in D.C. between UMass and GW had to be called off due to the curfew after the events at the Capitol. When the Giants were 1-7, general manager Dave Gettleman was very much on the hot seat. But they went 5-3 after that. Several of Gettleman's offseason pickups played well, and the Giants made official that Gettleman is keeping his job. He'll now try to make the Giants better.
Our football team made quality strides from beginning to end. We certainly have areas to improve upon, but Joe and his staff had a productive, very productive year. And now as we enter our roster-building season, we have the full realization there is still work to do.
They'll have the 11th pick of the draft. Jets have the second pick. We're right now focusing on hiring a new coach. Since Kansas City has a bye this weekend, the Jets were able to interview the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. Jacksonville's got the first pick, all but certain to take Trevor Lawrence. To no one's surprise, the quarterback made official that he's leaving Clemson. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Taking a look at markets this morning after the chaos in Washington. They're moving higher. S&P futures up 17 points. Dow futures up 109. NASDAQ futures up 74 points. We're going to take a look at what comes next after what we saw in the nation's capital. Bloomberg News senior editor Derek Wallbank joins us in the minutes ahead. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Partly to mostly sunny and cool today. Low 40s. Chilly tonight. Upper 20s. Highs near 40 tomorrow. Upper 30s. Partial sunshine by Saturday. Right now, 33. In Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global markets showing resilience after a day of violence rocked the Capitol, with investors firmly focused on the prospect for more economic stimulus. Treasury yields remain above 1%. The yen is weakening. And Bitcoin is jumping above $37,000 to another record high. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 20 points. Dow futures up 117. NASDAQ futures up 88. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, now down 4/32. The yield 1.04%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.8% or 39 cents at $51.03 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.5% or $8.60. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. After a dark day in Washington, Congress officially certified Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, lawmakers certified the results of the election just after 3:30 this morning, with Vice President Mike Pence presiding.
The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes.
This is the final official step in the 2020 election. Earlier, Pence defied President Trump by telling lawmakers he would make no attempt to block the certification. The Senate shot down the objections to certification despite the efforts of six senators who tried to wrestle it through. After the mob stormed the Capitol, a number of previously staunch Trump loyalists recanted their positions, including the outgoing Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you, sir. At least four people died in yesterday's storming of the Capitol. One woman who died was shot. The other three had medical emergencies. In the NBA, the Celtics and Knicks won. The Wizards and Warriors lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, and we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, joined now this morning by Derek Wallbank, senior editor for Bloomberg News, who's covered Washington, D.C. for years. And, of course, Derek, going into yesterday's events, we had thought the drama on Capitol Hill surrounding the certification of the Electoral College vote was going to be nothing more than political. Of course, we all know this chaotic scene that erupted yesterday. How could this happen in the most secure city in the country?
Nathan, I think that there's two ways of looking at that question. The first one is the physical one. How could this have happened? How could people gain access to the Capitol building? There is an entire Capitol Police Department whose primary job is to not let people in the building who aren't meant to be there and protect the lawmakers inside. That is going to be a key point of probes that are going to be going on. We're already hearing from lawmakers that those are going to start imminently coming days. They expect that to be a big deal, and expect, quite frankly, there are people who may lose their jobs over this, and maybe deservedly so. So that's point one. Point two is, I think, a broader question, but maybe even a more important one, which is, how do we as a country get to a point where the losing president's fans storm into the Capitol building because they think they're going to do whatever sort of 300 last stand of the Spartans nonsense on the House and Senate floor? I mean, how do we get to that point where we as a country have that messed up of a viewpoint that seems like that is the thing to do, right? And there's a lot of things to that. There's a sort of misinformation ecosystem from people who are paid to confuse and paid to outrage and who make their money that way, all the way on up, quite candidly, to the fact that the President of the United States has been saying things about the election since the election day that are manifestly not the case.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of things to unpack there, and some of these things are going to be maybe solvable, maybe improvable very quickly and tangibly. And some of them, I got to say, are much bigger problems, and the answers are not easily available.
Yeah, these are events that I think it's safe to say are going to be reverberating throughout this country for years. And I think we probably heard that that doubt sown about the results of the election sort of encapsulated by the objection raised by Senator Ted Cruz when he said that the reason that he was raising his objection was because 39% of Republicans think that the result was fraudulent. How do Republicans continue to align themselves with a president who is fomenting this kind of conspiracy theory? Do you see that continuing?
Well, I think, look, the circle of life for any amount of misinformation, right, is that people say it, it gets repeated and repeated and repeated through an ecosystem, and you just eventually it becomes just sort of like fact. Oh, isn't it obvious that this happened? And when we went through the court systems with all of these challenges, you're really talking about like 60-odd challenges, and I think all but one completely failed, and the other one was very minor. And so when you look through that and you say, well, here's the established reality, and on the other hand, here's things everyone, quote unquote, knows to be true, or at least everyone who agrees with me, that is a very big bifurcation, and it's really hard to get past that because the people who are living in that sort of like misinformation bubble aren't even getting the reality on the other side. And part of that is self-selected. Some of that is on social media, who people choose to listen to, because I am not removing anybody's individual agency as part of that. But it's also partly that they've been lied to repeatedly, repeatedly at scale. So I think that that's a very big problem. And quite frankly, that doesn't end with the certification of Joe Biden. I think it's an interesting point to make, though, Nathan, I do want to make this, is that even as we saw after that, after the storming of the Capitol, and they got order and they got back up, we saw half of the Republicans and the senators who planned to object drop the objection entirely. Kelly Loeffler went on the floor and was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, it fizzled.
But at the same point,
in the midst of that mob scene. Derek Wallbank, we have to leave it there for now, but really appreciate you coming on with us this morning after the events in Washington, D.C. Derek Wallbank, senior editor for Bloomberg News. Futures moving higher this morning after, and you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. It was an unprecedented day of chaos at the Capitol. Protesters supporting President Trump's claims of election fraud stormed the Capitol in a bid to disrupt certification of the election. Bloomberg's Billy House was there when the halls of Congress were breached.
They ran toward the rotunda Capitol steps. Some police began to run inside the Capitol rotunda, realizing they were just on the other side of the door. Some Republicans were telling their colleagues to call Trump and tell him to stop these people.
Rioters carried Trump flags and Confederate banners as Capitol Police appeared unprepared for the flood of protesters. President-elect Joe Biden addressed the nation in the waning moments of the violence.
At this hour, our democracy is under unprecedented assault, unlike anything we've seen in modern times.
Moments later, President Trump was out with a video on Twitter addressing supporters storming the Capitol.
We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace.
Twitter later blocked the president's account. Facebook blocked him from posting.
After the dust cleared, lawmakers on Capitol Hill resumed certification of the election, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell pushing on through the night.
The United States Senate will not be intimidated. We will not be kept out of this chamber by thugs, mobs, or threats.
The certification continued into the morning, and now Congress has formally recognized Joe Biden as next president. The invasion of the Capitol prompted Republicans to rein in some objections to the count, with senators forcing debate on only two states' electors.
In the meantime, the violence at the Capitol largely overshadowed the Democratic sweep in Georgia. Both Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff won their contest in the state, granting narrow control of the Senate to Democrats. The victories were propelled by record turnout. Nearly 4.5 million voters cast ballots in Georgia.
And futures this morning are on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up about 16 points. Dow futures up 88. NASDAQ futures up 76. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 1.04%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 36 cents at $50.99 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $4.70 at $19.13.30 an ounce. And straight ahead, your local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Area officials are reacting to the storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Donald Trump. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo sent 1,000 members of the state's National Guard to D.C. In a statement, Cuomo says, "We must call this what it actually is, a failed coup attempt. This is the final chapter of an incompetent, cruel, and divisive administration that has trampled on the Constitution and the rule of law at every turn." New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy in a tweet says, "We are witnessing one of the darkest days in American history." New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says, "People ignored the signs in the 1930s and paid an awful price. This is what fascism looks like, and Donald Trump is responsible." In Midtown, there were some arrests during an anti-Trump rally. World leaders are condemning the storming of the U.S. Capitol by supporters of President Trump. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and others called for a peaceful transition of power. Some signaled out President Trump for harsh criticism. They said political leaders need to urge their followers to refrain from violence and respect the rule of law. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said the right to vote and the right to have that vote counted should not be undone by a mob. President-elect Joe Biden has selected a federal appeals court judge, Merrick Garland, as his attorney general. That's according to two people familiar with the selection process. Garland was snubbed by Republicans in 2016 for a seat on the Supreme Court. New York is set to become the most populous state yet to allow mobile sports betting under a plan proposed by Governor Andrew Cuomo. The governor, who faces a $16 billion budget gap related to the coronavirus, said he would seek an operator or platform to offer mobile sports wagering in the state.
We want to do sports betting the way the state runs the lottery, where the state gets the revenues.
Cuomo will make his proposals as part of the 2021 State of the State address next week. The U.S. sports betting market has surged since the U.S. Supreme Court allowed states outside of Nevada to offer such wagers in 2018. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Thanks, Nathan. Don't look now, but the Knicks have won 3 in a row, 5 of the last 6. They're off to their best start since 2012. At the Garden, they came from 18 down to beat Utah 112-100. Another solid game from Julius Randle, 30 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, and Austin Rivers was sensational. In the fourth quarter, he scored 14 points in a row. He hit 4 3-pointers. His father, Doc, has Philadelphia off to a 7-1 start. Sixers beat Washington despite 60 points by the Wizards' Bradley Beal. Doc Rivers last night, one of several in the sports world who said they watched the events in D.C. and wondered what would have happened if the protesters were black. The Celtics considered not playing in Miami, citing the decision to not prosecute in the Jacob Blake shooting in Wisconsin. And then, as they said in a statement, the protesters in D.C. being treated differently than the ones last summer. The Celtics did play. They beat the Heat by 2. College hoops for the Big East. St. John's went to Cincinnati and lost to Xavier by 8. Seton Hall traveled to Omaha and lost to Creighton by 36. 2 days after the end of the season, the state of the Giants from owner John Mara.
I do see progress in the building here. I think the quality of people that we have in the locker room has improved a great deal. I think we have some great leaders down there. I think we've established a basis for a foundation that can have continued success going forward. And I'm excited about what the future holds for this team.
Mara is not going to fire general manager Dave Gettleman. He said he never really considered it. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street and time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Trader Joe's is coming to Harlem. The grocery chain will open a store in 2023 on 125th Street, less than a block from Whole Foods. The Harlem Trader Joe's will be the grocery company's 13th location in New York City. It'll be an anchor tenant for the Urban League Empowerment Center. Barstool Sports, a social media giant known mostly for quirky pizza reviews, is helping 3 Connecticut restaurants. Wallingford's Lascara Restaurant, Hartford's Red Rock Tavern, and Hartford's Piggy's Cafe were chosen to receive money from the Barstool Fund, which has raised about $19 million. Trenton-based NJM Insurance Group is making its personal lines insurance products available to Ohio residents for the first time in the company's 107-year history. NJM has also announced it finished first in the nation in the J.D. Power 2020 Auto Claims Satisfaction Study. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on COGO in San Diego, I'm talking about California's effort to vaccinate 1 million people in 10 days.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting on new data showing that it's cheaper to buy a home than to rent in the Orlando area.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on fears London will run out of intensive care beds in 2 weeks as virus cases surge.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Airlines try
ultra-cheap fares to get the world flying again.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the quarterly results from retailer Bed Bath & Beyond.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors beat Ford last year in the market for big pickup trucks.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. On the economic front today, we get another read on the labor market. Economists predict weekly jobless claims rose for the seventh time in 8 weeks. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In the prior report, jobless claims fell to a one-month low, 787,000. Bloomberg Economics says claims will probably rise in early 2021 at a more restrained pace than last spring when the virus first erupted. COVID-19 health restrictions have been more gradual and uneven across states this time around. The government issues its monthly employment report Friday. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Another day, another Bitcoin record. The cryptocurrency surged to just under $38,000 earlier today. That's led the total market value of coins to surpass $1 trillion. For the first time, Bitcoin has more than quadrupled in the last year, and shares of T-Mobile rose more than 2% in extended trading. The company added a better-than-expected 824,000 regular phone subscribers in the fourth quarter. The report shows T-Mobile's been able to continue its subscriber growth, even as it integrates Sprint, which was acquired in April. S&P futures higher by 17 points now. Dow futures up 94. NASDAQ futures up 91 points. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.04%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly cloudy today. Highs in the low 40s, upper 20s tonight. Partly sunny, high near 40 tomorrow. Upper 30s, partly sunny for Saturday. Right now, it is 32 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise, with investors primarily focused on the prospect for more economic stimulus. Treasury yields remain above 1%, Bitcoin jumping to a new record. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 15 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 84, the DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.04%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 21 cents at $50.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $5.20 at $19.13.90 an ounce. The euro 1.2254 against the dollar. British pound 1.3573. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it was an ugly, dark day in Washington. At least four people are dead after supporters of President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol. One of those who died was shot. The other three had medical emergencies. Senator Chuck Schumer.
President Franklin Roosevelt set aside December 7, 1941, as a day that will live in infamy. Unfortunately, we can now add January 6, 2021, to that very short list of dates in American history that will live forever in infamy.
After the violent disruption, Congress resumed what should have been just a mere formality. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, early this morning, Joe Biden was formally recognized by Congress as the next U.S. president. Vice President Mike Pence presided over the certification of Biden's 306 Electoral College votes. House and Senate members fended off a final round of objections. The invasion of the Capitol prompted Republicans to rein in some of the objections to the count. The vice president defied the president's call to overturn his election. Trump attacked Pence on Twitter after the vice president announced he lacked the power to throw out Electoral College votes cast for President-elect Biden. But Pence, the president tweeted, didn't have the courage to do what should have been done. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
NBA action. The Celtics and Knicks won. The Wizards and Warriors lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. More than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Crises emphasize character and partnership. One mission, one community, SEI. Go to seic.com/IMS. And we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Julie Norman, professor at the University College London, who teaches politics there. It's good to have you on with us this morning, Professor, a morning where we had expected to be talking about how policy changes now that balance of power is set on Capitol Hill. Now we're assessing the damage done on Capitol Hill. Is it more than just physical? Is it political damage?
Well, Nathan, this is certainly a big question with what the events of yesterday will mean moving forward. It certainly was a low point for political divisions in the United States. And I think the question now is if this is going to be a time to pivot away from those, to see some real reckoning within and between those parties, or if this is just going to be the start of even further deepening rifts. But what we did see yesterday is something that, while unprecedented and shocking, was a somewhat logical buildup from the kind of rhetoric and incitement that we've seen from Trump in the past several weeks, but even just in the past several days and hours before those events unfolded. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have obviously condemned what happened and are trying to see and frame this as something that cannot and will not be tolerated again in the U.S. moving forward.
What does the reckoning look like? We've heard some talk from many Democrats saying the 25th Amendment should be invoked, that a second impeachment is in order here, and it sounds as though a handful of Republicans are at least not shutting the door to that. Is that something that's going anywhere?
Well, this is certainly part of the conversation today. And again, that is on both sides of the aisle, including by some within the Republican Party also, as you noted. And I think there's two parts to this. One is just worry that there will be further incitement and violence while Trump remains in office, not because the president would necessarily himself be calling or encouraging violence, but just instead by repeating claims that the election was stolen. By making people believe that they're fighting for a cause like that, there is just the opportunity for people to try and take things into their own hands. The second element of that is, again, just to send a message to Americans now and also in the future that this kind of challenging of electoral processes, of the democratic process, you cannot happen again, and trying to send a clear message to that with something like the 25th Amendment being invoked or impeachment. But the reality is we're less than 2 weeks from the inauguration. The ability to put something through that procedural, even just time-wise, would be challenging, as well as trying to get the political support behind it from Republicans in particular.
What kind of a burden does this put on President-elect Biden once he does take office in less than 2 weeks?
Nathan, it really puts a huge pressure on Biden. Biden campaigned on this promise of trying to unite the country, of bringing a voice of moderation and unity and healing. That was going to be an uphill battle regardless of what happened yesterday. The events yesterday, though, really pit the U.S. in this very polarized situation. And perhaps, again, it's an opportunity for Biden, as he did yesterday, to come out as a voice of healing, of a voice of kind of strength and saying, you know, this is not who we are. We need to move forward from this. But for him to have that message resonate even within his own party, much less to those who have been supporting Trump, is going to be a real challenge for him and his team as they enter office in 2 weeks.
We only have less than a minute left here, Professor, but you're based in London. What do yesterday's events do to America's standing in the world?
Well, obviously, just seeing the images of the Capitol under siege was just such an optically jarring image that looks like American democracy is under threat as well. With that said, I think it spoke largely within the United States and outside that Congress did reconvene yesterday. Even though the process and democracy was tested, better heads prevailed. They did confirm the election results. The inauguration will move forward. And at the end of the day, the world does see that the U.S. process does continue, even when tested in this very jarring way.
Really appreciate having you on and getting your insights this morning after an extraordinary day in Washington, D.C. University College London Professor Julie Norman with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Thank you again. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, we're looking at the pardon process for President Trump during his final days in office. He's largely taken the clemency process from the Justice Department, turning it into a lobbying bonanza. According to data compiled by Harvard Law School professor Jack Goldsmith, close to 86% of the president's pardons so far went to people with personal or political connections. For more on the issue, Joan Grasso speaks to Bloomberg legal reporter David Jaffe Bellany.
Has Trump completely cut the pardon office out of the process?
Not completely, but we're talking about a small handful of cases out of the almost 100 pardons and commutations that Trump has issued. You know, in effect, he's doing his own thing. The Justice Department process is still plugging along, but it's sort of a sideshow compared to the kind of lobbying bonanza focused on the White House that's really dictating who gets clemency this time around.
You spoke to a lawyer, Margaret Love, who said, "There's no doubt a great deal of opportunity in the dysfunction." Explain what she meant.
So what she's saying is that for people who have the time and the resources to do the sort of lobbying, to talk to conservative radio hosts, to write petitions to Republican legislators and try to get them to put in a good word with the White House, people who have the time and resources to do that may be in a good position to get clemency. Now, it's worth pointing out that Trump has issued many fewer pardons and commutations than Obama did. It's not as if he's being especially lenient. It's just that there's this new kind of avenue to pursue clemency that hasn't existed in quite the same way before, that's now open to people with political connections and the means to capitalize on those connections.
It seems like the pardon process is almost an industry, you know, pardon lawyers, lobbyists.
It is. I mean, there are lawyers whose main practice is to help people navigate the clemency process. There's a whole network of nonprofit groups, a lot of which do really important work, sort of exploring the cases of people who have faced really severe sentences for kind of minor drug crimes and trying to use the clemency process as a way to reduce the number of people who are incarcerated for those sorts of minor nonviolent crimes. So there's a whole kind of ecosystem around this, and usually it's been directed at the Justice Department and producing compelling clemency petitions that go through that vetting process. But now there's been a shift where these nonprofit groups and lobbyists and lawyers have had to kind of focus their energies on sort of less conventional ways to get the White House's attention.
And that's Bloomberg legal reporter David Jaffe Bellany speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures higher this morning, up about 13 points. Dow futures up 63. NASDAQ futures up 69. Watching Bitcoin as well at $37,174. And we have our top stories straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.